Another conversation from Loretta's Front Page. Conversations that need to be had and heard. It is time now at 5 minutes past 10 to welcome Kim McDonald to the studio. Welcome, Kim.
Good morning, good morning.
It's lovely to have you back. This is your second time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thank you for having me.
You're one of my regulars. This second hour of Loretta's Front Page, we always start it with making life better. This is our segment where I invite in experts who have bigger brains than me in their field to help us make our life that little bit better, depending on which area that we're looking at today. So, Kim, you are Kim is the founder, the director at Savvy Office Solutions. She's an awesome bookkeeper and amazing BAS agent. And Kim, you're here and we have chats about business and about using our money wisely in our businesses. That's right, isn't it?
That's correct.
Because that's what you love to do.
Oh, yeah. It's all things money and business.
Why do you love that?
Because it just brings so much passion to seeing people live out their lives in a really exciting way because they can achieve things that they do themselves.
Kim, today, what are we talking about in business?
We're talking about five things in common that successful business owners have.
Five things. The five common factors that make a successful business person?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, people, get your pens. Get your pens, get your paper.
This is it.
This is it. So is this because of when you're working with people that you are seeing common traits over and over again?
Yeah, absolutely. So over the past decade of working with closely with clients, there are some standout attributes that I have noticed with those that I would consider successful. Now, I know the term successful can have many different meanings for people.
I was thinking, is it like cha-ching, cha-ching?
Yeah, exactly. So for me, I would consider the following successful. So having a work-life balance here and now, paying themselves well, having a sustainable business and lifestyle, and enjoying time away from the business.
Okay. Look, are they so that's what success can look like for
people.
Yeah,
absolutely. But also working towards their retirement goals and giving back to the community or causes that are important for them. So it's important that it's an all-encompassing success. It's not just money in the bank.
Because money in the bank doesn't equate to feeling fulfilled necessarily.
Not necessarily, no.
It doesn't necessarily equate to great family relationships because we've all, you know, seen people who work super hard, burn out and don't have anything for anyone else around them.
Okay. Exactly. Oh. So the first thing that I've noticed is that they don't do it all or know it all. So they keep to the basics. They hone their skills to be the master of their trade or business. They don't keep trying to reinvent the wheel with every opportunity. They work smarter, not harder.
Okay, so they don't know it all. Is what you're saying that someone who reaches a success in their business, do they outsource? Is that what you're saying?
But even before they get to that point of having achieved what you may consider success, air quotes here, it's outsourcing what you aren't strong in. So it could be employing someone, engaging a short-term or long-term contractor. It could be in your personal life as well as your business life, because there's things that you need to put in place to help you to get successful in your business. It could be engaging with a mentor or coach that has specific skills to assist with strengthening you in your weaknesses. And this because you're constantly learning and growing in business. You either grow via learning yourself over a longer period of time, or you can commit to investing money in yourself to engage a mentor or coach to get the results quicker.
Because I think what people sometimes struggle with is there's that whole chicken and the egg. So when I earn more money, then I'll do the you know, hire the coach, or I'll hire the employee who, or I'll outsource the bookkeeping or whatever.
Yeah.
How do we do the chicken and the egg thing? Do we just, you know, leap and hope that it all works out okay and engage someone and put the money down and then hope we make the money that pays for that later in our business? How do we find the happy medium in that?
It's a delicate little dance, that one.
I know.
So I guess the biggest point is making sure that whatever it is that you're going to be engaging someone to be outsourcing, that component is going to free you up time to be doing something else that's of higher value. So, for example, you first might start to get help around the house because that's going to actually give you more time to be spending on your business. So it could be engaging a nanny or a cleaner. It could be outsourcing your bookkeeping straight away in your business because numbers aren't your thing. And that gives you time then to spend on higher level things such as doing getting quotes or doing the work. So I don't think there's any answer, quick and easy answer to the chicken and the egg thing.
Oh.
No, sorry, no magic pill there. It's just knowing that if you're going to engage someone, that you're then using that time to fulfill what it is that you're trying to achieve.
All right. So what I'm hearing you saying is it's intentful outsourcing.
Exactly.
So it's not just, I hate this thing, I'm going to get someone else to do it, and then now I can't afford them to do it any longer because I haven't actually been intentional with my time.
Yeah, not necessarily though, because if it is something that you really hate doing, but it is something that's actually really important to your business surviving, then absolutely outsource that if you don't, because otherwise you're never going to get it done. So therefore, it's not going to actually ever help you achieve your business outcomes. So, yes, it can be, but while you're doing that, go do something else with your time.
Yeah. So I liked what you said. So it's about the first thing that you see successful people, what they have in common in their businesses is they recognize that they don't know it all and they don't need to do it all.
Exactly. Exactly.
Write that down, people.
Yeah. So secondly would be around planning and goals. So they appreciate the time now and are always working towards their goals, whether that be a 6 month, a 1 year, a 5 year, or a longer goal. So they make decisions for themselves based on what they love to do, what their strengths are, and what their business model is. So they celebrate their successes along the way to achieving their goals, and they're not tied to the actual outcome of achieving the goal. Now, that's a lot of words. Mm. So I just want to give you an example on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So say, for example, you're in business and you're currently earning $100,000 a year. And so the next year you might choose that your goal is going to be to earn $200,000 for the year, but you only get to $180,000 and you go, okay, well, I'm going to celebrate that. I'm not going to be disheartened or give up because I didn't reach my goal of $200,000. So you see what I mean? You know what the goal is and you're doing what you can to achieve it. But if you don't achieve it, that's totally okay. You're not completely tied to the outcome of the goal. You celebrate along the way as well. So goals are the pathway for your future. They simply keep you moving in the right direction. And it's okay to meander a little bit, but it's important to know where you're heading in the first place. It's not just in your head either. You need to have it written down, have it printed near your desk, or as a reminder on your phone, and come back and review them often so you know that you're continually working towards what you want, what you're trying to achieve.
And I think this second characteristic of the successful business owner is linked to the first, because from what I know is that to be able to create some goals, you actually need some time and some headspace to step just outside your business, or people often say up onto the balcony so they can see the dance floor.
Exactly.
But you can't do that if you're wearing every hat and running around like a chicken without a head.
You can't be all things all the time. So sometimes taking that little bit of space out to see things from a higher level is well worth its time.
What do you see people doing? Are they doing that sort of like once every 12 weeks? Do they take themselves out for breakfast, you know, once a month to give them that space and time? What do you see people doing?
So I've seen a lot of people do annual goals and things like that, but they only come back to it once a year, and that's not quite enough. I would recommend a quarterly session for yourself, even if it's an hour, 2 hours, take yourself out for a coffee, go through, review what you actually achieved for the quarter and then what you want to achieve for the next quarter as well. So it's your own little review.
Do you know, I've heard it said that people who give themselves a year goal, what happens is it's in the last maybe month 10 and month 11, they really start to kick it up and try and hit the goal.
Yeah.
And so what the advice is to work on what they call a 90-day year, which is basically a quarter.
Yep.
Because if you set yourself that goal, then you're going to actually kick it up in about, you know, week, I don't know, 8, 9, and 10 of that quarter, as opposed to not wasting 9 months. But not having that on focus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thirdly is consistency. They keep showing up. And there are times when we don't feel energized or it becomes boring or we simply just don't feel like it. And on those days, we have a choice. We can take a day out and do something to re-energize ourselves and come back the next day to show up fully, or we can acknowledge that we are feeling that way and just get to work and do it anyway.
What do you do? I'm just going to guess that sometimes this might happen in your business too.
I don't know what gave it away. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What are your things? What do you do to re-energize? If you think, you know what, this is just not working today. I need to take a step back or away. I'm going to have half a day. What sort of things help you?
So I work from home. So I'll sit and have a bit of a chat to myself, which is great. If that's not giving me a bit of a fist pump moment and I can't get back into it, I'll go for a walk up and down my street. My neighbours love seeing me out. They give me a wave every day. And then if it's feeling like it's more than that, I'll actually go, all right, I'm going to finish work early today, or I'm going to start work later today, and I'm going to go out, have myself a coffee somewhere, go for a walk, might go to the ocean, just have a wander around, anything that at that time I feel will re-energize me, because some days are different. Sometimes it might be I actually need to stay in bed for another hour and get more sleep. Mm. So it just depends where I'm at on that day. And sometimes I go, well, actually, Kim, just get over yourself and just get in there and get it done, because you're procrastinating.
That's right, the procrastination. Yeah. And I think it's really handy to know yourself in those times. Yeah. So for me, I like to engage with other people. So I get energized by being with others. And what they're doing inspires me and helps me refocus and get back in and sort of fires me up again.
Yeah.
So there's things that you're talking about were sort of, you know, having that quieter space and just, you know, maybe sort of taking that inward moment. Yep. Whereas I would potentially look at the outward and I would say, I would get on the phone, have a conversation with someone. Yeah. And that just perks me. So I think it's about knowing what works for you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's super important. Mm-hmm. And I guess the other important side of that is not to get stuck in being unmotivated for really long periods of time, because that can be the slow death of your business. Oh, and it highlights that something is really out of alignment for you personally and you may need some help to get back on track. So consistency is key. Keep showing up, people.
Keep opening the doors and putting your shingle out.
That's right.
Okay. What's number four?
Okay. Money.
That's money. Dear listeners, I did wonder when we were going to talk about money.
Yeah, you know. But so successful business owners, they understand what the purpose of their money is. They spend less than they earn. They put aside their GST and ATO obligations. They have more than one bank account that they're operating out of. And they have savings. They don't live week to week or paycheck to paycheck in either business or personal life. And more often than not, this is one of the areas that business owners get assistance with first. So even if you aren't a numbers person, there are simple things you can do yourself to manage and understand your finances. There's a great book that I recommend to my clients, and that is Profit First by Mike Michalowicz, which is designed for business. However, you can easily implement Profit First in your personal life as well. It's a game changer. Understanding your money is super important.
It absolutely is. And I've done some work with you around this. Mm. And you'll be very happy to know that my daughter came to me and said, I'm earning this money, Mum. What will I do with it? Like, what a problem to have as a teenager in her little retail job. And so we actually implemented a bit of Profit First for the 15-year-old.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I know. I knew you'd be.
Yes, music to my ears.
Yeah, I know. But it's about being intentional with your money.
Yeah, intentional money.
Sometimes when I speak with business owners, you know, they have started with a passion. Mm-hmm. They've started because they want to help people and they want to, you know, get out there and make good in the world and make a difference. And they say things like, yeah, no, but the money isn't, it's not really, really all that important to me. Mm-hmm. Or they say things like, I just put it all in the bank.
Yep.
You know, and there's sort of like this sort of distance between them and those numbers and the money.
Mm.
That's not one of the characteristics of a successful business owner,
no,
is it?
No, that's not. But it's interesting. A lot of people do have that relationship with money. And yeah, I go through a lot of different things when I mentor my clients around why they do certain things and why they behave in certain ways with money.
I like it. Okay. Yeah. Are we up to number five yet?
We are up to number five. So the last one is community or your cheer squad. So they surround themselves with successful people. And that means looking outside their immediate family and friends, who sometimes seem like they are supporting and cheering you on, but can actually be putting their own fears and opinions onto you. So look wider, such as other business owners in the same industry or other industries you work alongside. align yourself with others that understand business and are doing well. They are walking the talk. And there's this great quote by Jim Rohn that says, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So think about that for yourself. Is that sort of working in your favor when it comes to business? Who are you surrounding yourself with?
Yeah, and I think whilst you and it's the quality of the person, isn't it? Like, so yes, they may have another business in your town.
Yes,
you know? So you might be, you know, all on the main street of Ocean Grove. But what's their mentality like? Are they looking for opportunities? Are they outward facing, or are they like, everything's really hard, and you know, and they have this sort of, you know, scarcity mentality? So you need to be careful about that, don't you?
You do have to be careful, and it's great. Align yourself with those that celebrate their successes along the way as well, because celebrating is super important, and it's great to be able to do that with each other. And it's okay to talk about things that happen really great in your business. And I think sometimes people get scared of not celebrating these things because they don't want to be seen as, you know, the tall poppy. Or trying to do better than others. We're all here to support each other. Like, it's such a small town. Be there to support each other and celebrate.
I like that very, very, very much, Kim. As always, you have such wisdom to share with us. Can you just, for anyone who's just like, they've, you know, jumped into the end of this conversation, can you run through what those five things are that you're seeing that successful business owners have in common?
Absolutely. So the first thing is they don't do it all or know it all. Mm-hmm. The second thing is they plan. They have goals and they review them often. Thirdly, consistency. They keep showing up. Fourth is money. They understand their finances in their business and personal life. And fifthly, community. Surround themselves with successful people. And the important thing in business is to remember that we are choosing to be self-employed, and it gets to be enjoyable and fun.
It does. It does get to be enjoyable.
It really does.
It does. Kim, thank you so much. Can you stay on? Are you able to be here when we interview Marty, who's going to be in our It Takes a Village segment right after these sponsorship announcements?
Sure, I'd love to.
Love it. You have just got so many awesome things. Can you write that in a blog and put that on your website? Because people need to read that.
Yes, can do.
Thank you. There was a lot in there.